Most novelists dream of the kind of success Jane Hamilton has had. Not one but two of her novels have made Oprah's book club. A Map of the World was made into a movie starring Sigourney Weaver and Julianne Moore. Most of Hamilton's stories involve families in crisis, so maybe it's not unexpected that she would eventually get around to the subject of infidelity. In her new novel, Disobedience, a teenage son discovers that his mom is cheating on his dad. Steve Paulson wanted to know more.
Well, tell me, how does your 17-year-old narrator, Henry Shaw, discover that his mother's having an affair?
He's a modern child, so he discovers it through email. He has set his mother up. He's on her computer, and he's the computer whiz in the family, so he knows her password, and he says that he accidentally stumbles into it without meaning to whatsoever, and I think we're to believe him. And then he reads a message to her beloved, and he realizes that she's otherwise engaged.
And he keeps reading the email then for the coming months, and he charts the ups and downs of his mother's affair.
He does. He can't quite keep himself from what is really too much information.
And this, I mean, just to think about what a teenager would go through discovering this. I mean, and he keeps it all inside himself. He doesn't, for a long time, doesn't tell anyone else that he knows that his mother is cheating on her husband.
He also, at the same time, is having his own first love experience. So he has a very deep bond with his mother, so he can't help, in a way, empathizing with her. And it also gives him the occasion to step back and look at his parents' marriage and say, oh, well, maybe there's a gap here and maybe there's a gap there and maybe they aren't really the parents I thought I had. So it does make for an upheaval. And more intensified because he doesn't really know who to tell or can he tell or should he tell and what does it mean to tell. And he also wants to protect both of his parents.
And he partly sympathizes with his mother. I mean, he realizes that she's a woman with a passionate nature and his father really isn't.
Right. And his mother is a pianist. And so he really from early on, he's sort of understood in a kind of intuitive way that she is a person of great feeling.
Now, one of the things that you do in this book is you get at a problem that I think is true with a lot of marriages. There's nothing obviously wrong with her husband, Kevin. He's a great guy in a lot of ways. He's a good father, helps out around the house.
Yes, he's the husband from heaven, her friends call him.
And yet there's something that has caused them to kind of drift apart.
Well, I think in marriages, you know, typically in long marriages, from my observation, raising children and running a household does not make for good romance. And I think what really can test the power of love in a marriage is an infidelity and that power of desire. And so a couple sometimes, when that happens, end up, you know, weighing that love against that desire.
Well, let's talk about the choice that Henry's mother, Beth Shaw, in this book faces. Obviously, she's thinking about leaving her husband, leaving her family. And
yes.
She's really weighing, well, as you put it in the book, the past versus the future being running off with her lover, or the past is all that her husband represents.
Yes. Well, Henry, her son, sees her, or he believes he's seeing her weighing the weight of the stories that they've all shared together. And during the course of the year, she keeps asking her family to remember certain scenes. And he wonders if that's because she is weighing just that deep sense of a history that you have with a family and your partner who you've been with for years and years with this blank slate that is the future. And I think he believes that she comes to think that history is most important.
There's a passage in your book that gets at some of these issues, and I'm wondering if you could read it.
Sure. This is the narrator, Henry, speaking, the son. And anyway, how did it work, practically speaking, that a couple split up when they had known each other for so many years? It took place all the time to plenty of people we knew. I could see that it might be easy to divide a household, arrange for the children to be here and there at certain times, take a lease on an apartment. But if that happened to us, wouldn't my mother always be thinking of my father, even when she didn't want to? Didn't any revolution carry with it the risk of nostalgia, a longing for the old regime? Richard Placco would periodically say a line, and Liza would react, and it would remind her of the way she'd been with my father, or she'd hear herself saying the exact words to her new husband that Kevin had often said to her. Wouldn't she even, on occasion, want to call Kevin to tell him a funny, very short story, something only he would understand, because once they'd shared a house and children, shared the common language of daily life?
And just for clarification, we should mention that Kevin is her husband and Richard Polacco is the man she's having an affair
yes.
with. Yes. Well, it raises the question of what the common language of daily life is, the stuff that I suppose we all take for granted.
And I think that language is different for each couple, and it's a language that an outsider can't know. But it's about the rhythms of daily life and who wakes up first and who doesn't speak to whom and who buys the milk and gets the mail and, you know, all of those little details.
It's the stuff that seems totally mundane, but in a lot of ways it's what really binds a marriage together and holds a family together.
I think it is. I think it's critical. If those parts work together, then much is well. And also, you know, if you have a sense of humor and if you honor each other's own history, and all of that really ties into daily life too, the building up of private jokes. And I think if you have that, you have a better chance than if you don't.
What's the alternative if you don't have those private jokes?
I don't know. I really don't know. Great sex or divorce. I think divorce is the alternative. Or lots of therapy.
Now, I suppose as a novelist, you must think, I mean, as you're writing a book like this, you have to consider what makes a good marriage. I mean, that's sort of the question that you must be mulling over in the background as you're creating these characters. Have you come to any conclusions?
Well, yes. I think, in fact, that Beth Shaw and Kevin Shaw, the couple in the book, do have a good marriage because they don't have to talk very much, and they do get each other's jokes. And I really do think that if the main person you're telling your stories to is your spouse, then that's a sign of a good marriage. You know, if you really want to shape a story for that particular person, that's
you don't
a good
have
sign.
A confidant somewhere else.
You don't. You can have other confidants, but you also really look forward to the reaction that your spouse is going to have to this story. Can't wait to tell him this one, and the appreciation for your shared history, and if you're doing the child-rearing project, which I think is like being in a really long run of a cross between a musical comedy and a Greek tragedy.
As a parent, I can identify with that.
If you're doing the child-rearing project, I think it's very important that both of you realize that the children are really going to take over and that you have to, in a way, you have to submit to them. And if you can both do that gracefully, then, you know, I think that's a very good marriage.
And it's awfully hard to not put the children at center stage, I mean, especially when they're young, because they're just so all-consuming.
Well, I think in a way you have to. I think it works best if they do take center stage, well, at the same time you're doing this impossible balancing act of keeping a few threads of your own going. Because I think if you don't give over to them, they're going to turn into demanding, horrible, hideous brats.
And yet it's so easy for couples with the best of intentions who care a lot about their kids, I mean, they both do, mm-hmm. to kind of feel that there's not much intensity in their own relationship.
Right. Well, sometimes things have to be on hold for a while, too. I mean, I'm in awe of the mystery of married love, and I've been married for 22 years, and I have come to see the cycles that, you know, the marriage goes through. And so far, you know, you have your bad times and then you come out of it into a better place. And it is truly cyclical. And but, you know, so far, I assume my husband does too. I have a certain trust in that very deep level of commitment. And
so even
love.
Though you might be having arguments that
oh,
day.
Oh, horrible arguments.
It's sort of...
Or it's you that... hate each other's guts or whatever. But you know that there's an underlying sense of we're on the same path here.
Steve Paulson talked to writer Jane Hamilton about her new novel, Disobedience.